As you think through tonight, I would like you to think of who is the closest person to you in your life. Who do you care about most? And for many of us, it's a number of people. You may love your parents as much as you do your spouse. You may love your siblings, your kids, whoever it is. But typically, there's someone that you're closer to. There's someone who knows you more. There's someone who just, for lack of a better term, gets you. They understand who you are, how you think. They can complete your sentences. When we think about tonight, this is who claimed to know Jesus. When we think about what Jesus went through, the people that crucified him were those who claimed to know him best, those who were supposed to be able to teach the world about him, those who were supposed to recognize him in an instant and be able to accept him as their king and have him issue in not only salvation, but the tribulation right away. Now, of course, that didn't happen. They reject him. They crucify him. In fact, what you may not know, and I didn't know this for a number of years, because when you read the Gospels, they're spread out, and typically you read one, and then you read the other, and then you read another. But if you read all four and you try to link them up, you'll see that Jesus goes through six separate trials. By this time, the night of the Passover, he's already gone through all six. In fact, at this point in the night, he would have been coming off the cross, being laid in the tomb. So what we're going to look at tonight is almost a prequel to the events of him actually accomplishing salvation on the cross. Keep in mind that throughout the whole night, he didn't get any sleep. He wasn't offered any food. He's exhausted. And yet he continues to push forward despite the pain, the suffering that he faced, always with the cross in mind, knowing that unless he went to the cross, salvation could not be offered for all mankind. He endured that for you personally, not just for me. I do accept that, but I want you to think that it's a personal act of salvation for you. When he's arrested on that night, he first goes to Annas. He doesn't even get taken to the high priest. Annas is a high priest from a former year. He's a father-in-law. He's more like what we would think of today, a mob boss. He runs the city. He grants favors to those who would want to speak to the high priest. And he essentially goes there first. And we see this in John 18, 12 through 13. It says, so the Roman cohort and the commander of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first. For he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year. Why is he trying Jesus? He has no authority to try Jesus. He's not in charge of Jerusalem. Yet this is the first trial that Jesus faced. It's already illegal. It's already a sham. It's just going to get worse from here. Jesus is struck for the first time in front of Annas. You can read that in John 18, 22. Already, this is the Savior of the world, the Messiah that they claim to know, the person that supposedly knows Scripture better than anyone else in the world, is striking the Messiah in the face. Think of that. The people that should have loved him the most. This particular trial is only recorded in the book of John. But realizing Jesus will not succumb to the political pressure, Annas takes him away to Caiaphas. Matthew records that the scribes and elders were gathered together with Caiaphas. So right away, we know if they're gathered with Caiaphas, they weren't even at the first trial. The people who should have added legitimacy to his trial weren't even there. Matthew 26:59 says, now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They knew it was a false testimony. They kept searching for two people to come up with the same lie to tell about Jesus. Imagine if you can take yourself back. For some of us, it may have been in high school, some of us college, some of us in our work environment. But if someone has been telling lies about you and you just say, simply, that isn't true, but there's nothing you can do to prove it. These are the people that are seeking for liars about Jesus, the people that are supposed to know him, the people who claim to understand the Messiah that the world has been looking for. They're putting a false trial before Jesus, and he knows it, and the world will eventually know it. At this point, all those who were present began to beat Jesus and mock him. They beat him to the point that his face almost becomes disfigured or unrecognizable in some accounts. Imagine that, being beat for doing nothing wrong. And now we're at just the second trial that he will face during these next 12 hours. Luke records the second phase or the third trial before the elders and scribes. See, because in Jewish law, you couldn't try someone in the middle of the night. It had to be done in the daylight. They couldn't hide the proceedings of a back court somewhere. So they realized right away what they had done that night was illegal. And so they convene a new trial in the morning. It, for them, it's really a copy of what they've already decided. It's a kangaroo court, if you will. But it's a political grandstanding. And we read in Luke chapter 22, verses 67 and 68, they asked Jesus again, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer." He's not buying into their scam. He's already presented ample evidence of who he is as the Messiah. Not just that night, but for the previous 3 years, he had granted miracle after miracle, showing the people who he was, that he was indeed the promised Messiah that would bring redemption for the world. Realizing that Passover is about to start, the elders take Jesus to Pilate to get him to do their dirty work. This is the fourth trial that he will face that night. He's already been found guilty 3 times by illegal courts or shams, and they take him to Pilate as if Rome can do what they can't bring themselves to do, because somehow they won't need to remain pure for Passover. You catch the irony? They can't enter Pilate's house because somehow that's going to make them impure, yet all the illegal activities they've done for the last 12 hours don't matter against the Messiah. So they go to Pilate and they said to him, "What is truth?" Excuse me, on a little bit further ahead. It says, "If you are Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you a question, you will not answer." And then when he goes to Pilate, Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out again and the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." Keep in mind, Pilate is essentially the pagan ruler of the land. He is not the representative of the Hebrew people. He doesn't necessarily know who the Messiah is. But one thing he does know right away, Jesus isn't guilty of anything. He recognizes the innocence of Jesus. He recognizes the sham that's being portrayed against him. The priests and elders make another mistake by letting Pilate know that Jesus was teaching in Galilee. Pilate has his out. He doesn't have to pronounce judgment, because if this is a criminal in Galilee, well, that's another court. That's not the court that I'm in charge of. I'll send him to Herod. So now we're on the fifth trial. 5 trials, all of which are illegal, none of which find him guilty of anything, all of which are leading to his crucifixion for you and I. We read this in Luke chapter 23, verses 5 and 7. It says, "But they kept on insisting, saying," and this is to Pilate, "he stirs up the people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee, even as far as this place." When Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. They sense that they're trapped right now. It says, "And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at the time." Now, Herod should know who the Messiah is. He should know what he's supposed to do. But all that he sees Jesus as is a miracle worker, a court magician, if you will. He wants to see a miracle. He wants proof of who Jesus is. And to be honest, he probably doesn't even care if he were to get the miracle. All that he cares about is a magic show. He doesn't understand the depth of what salvation means. Because salvation isn't just freedom from eternity in hell. It's a daily freedom from the burden of sin in your life. It's a freedom that we can experience to overcome whatever is peculiar to you, because each of us have a weakness that we live with day in and day out. And Jesus not only paid for the sin to give us everlasting life, but he paid for that sin in a way that it gives us the strength to have a better life today. And it's something that we have to think about, because every sin that you commit, those that you committed before you were saved, those that you commit today and those that you'll commit in the future, all of those sins were imputed to Christ on the cross. This is what he's about to go through. When he goes to Herod, Herod gets excited, but Jesus refuses to do a spectacle for him, so Herod has him beaten again. Herod's guards take him away, and they take him back to Pilate. You can read that in Luke chapter 23, verse 11. And then when he gets back to Pilate for a second time on this day, and he hands him over to the Roman soldiers. I can't be adamant about this, but I think Pilate's trying to find another out. He's hoping that if they see that he's tortured, they see that he's beaten, and in fact, we've already read, as Travis noted, that he's scourged. Scourged, if you don't know what that means, it's typically done with what's called a cat of nine tails. It's a whip that has nine leather strips, and at the end of each of those leather strips, there's either a barb, glass, or sometimes a sliding weight that was designed to grip the skin and pull it off layer by layer on your back. In fact, the Romans were so good at it, they could literally skin a person as they were doing it. They were perfected the art of torture. This is what Jesus is going through. And I know it's gruesome, and I know it's hard to hear. I don't like talking about it personally. But when we don't talk about it, when we don't proclaim what he did that night, then it's easier for us to diminish the penalty of sin, the weight of sin, or what it costs for salvation. And we should never do that, especially on tonight of all nights. We should feel the full weight of what he felt that night. The weight of pain, the weight of grief, for he was stricken not for himself, but for us, so that we could attain to salvation. Jesus' crucifixion provides a political alliance. From that point forward, Pilate and Herod actually become friends. They weren't friends until they can unite in this one night. Pilate tries to release Jesus, but the Jews beg for his crucifixion. I don't know about you, but when Travis asked me to read those terms, crucify, crucify, it's so hard for me to even say. I tear up because I think that was really said one night to even a regular man who was innocent, let alone the Savior of the world. Think about that. He did nothing wrong. Not one day, not one month, not one year. Never did anything wrong. And yet they're beating him, scourging him. And those who supposedly knew him best, those who supposedly loved him, are yelling and chanting to crucify him. Pilate brings him out, and he ultimately presents him to the Jews, and he even declares him innocent a second time. In John 19:1-6, Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, put on his head, and put on a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." And they repeated that over and over. We only see the words twice. It was a chant in a crowd. We don't know the size, but it was loud enough to just drive Pilate to send him to the cross. Pilate said to them, "Take him for yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in this man." At this point, Jesus is taken to Golgotha, where he will not only suffer the pain of the crucifixion and pay the penalty for sin so that anyone who places their faith in him can have everlasting life. He will actually be separated from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit during that period of darkness, something he had never experienced in all of eternity. When we read these words, they're more than just a story. They're more than just a word on a page. This next 48 hours or 72 hours, however you want to count it, every believer is meant to carry the weight of what happened on the cross. I'm not saying you shouldn't laugh or have joy. I think you should. But when we pick this night, and this may not be the exact night. In fact, it probably is not the exact night that it happened. But this is the night that we choose to remember what it took to provide salvation for us. And when we think tonight, when Travis sings these songs, we'll celebrate Sunday. Sunday should be an all-out greatest celebration in the history of the planet. But tonight, tomorrow, when you have moments of silence, I would ask that you think of what Jesus went through in these six trials, what he went through on the cross, and the penalty that it cost him to pay for our sins, to offer salvation to anyone who would place their faith in him for salvation. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this night. We are humbled by the fact that you would offer us salvation and pay such a price that we may have a relationship with you. Teach us to value that relationship not only today, but for the rest of our lives, always remembering Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.